And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Well, it's good to be back this week. We left off last week. We're preaching through the book of Psalm 119. We left off in Psalm 119. And verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, we must realize that most of this psalm is basically talking about the supremacy, the excellency, the magnifying of the word of God. Now, sometimes it's called the word, sometimes it's referred to as the law or thy statutes or thy precepts, but in all times this is referencing the holy word of God. It's just different words used to describe it. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. See, a lot of times we might wonder as we witness to people or talk to people, even religious people. I know a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. Unto your eyes are opened, open thou mine eyes. He's saying, Lord, give me understanding of the word of God. The Bible says a carnal man understandeth not the things of God. That's why people can't get that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, that baptismal regeneration is a criminal doctrine. That's why people can't understand that what grace means and what the Word of God teaches about once saved, always saved. They can't understand what it teaches about the church because their eyes have never been opened. They're still dead in their sin. If the Lord saves a person, they'll never go around promoting baptismal regeneration and false doctrines of the Word of God. Open thou mine eyes. This is the bountiful dealing in which he asked for in the verse before. He's saying, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. David was a saved man. Not only do our eyes need to be opened in conversion, but they need to be open to the understanding of the word. We need to pray, Lord, help us understand thy word. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. That's my only fear as a preacher, as far as preaching the word, that I don't misinterpret and mispreach the scripture. I want to do it right for God's glory. He said, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Some men can perceive no wonders in the gospel or the word of God, but David felt sure that there were glorious things in the word. He had not half the Bible. All he had was the Old Testament. But he prized it more than some men prize the whole Bible. See, I wonder, we talk about we're Bible believers, but those of you that are listening that are saved and members of churches and even go regular, I wonder how often do you open the Word of God? Now, I know they've got things where you can read through the Bible in a year, and all that's good. I'm not against that. But I'm going to say a lot of that stuff is just to say I read through the Bible, but you'd be far better off to read one verse, meditate on it, apply it to your life, and allow God to use it to change how you live and what you do, than just reading and never. That's why I've known preachers who they would preach and they'd quote half the New Testament while they were preaching, and it got them a lot of meetings because it was a little eccentric and a little out of the ordinary. But if you don't stop and explain the word, men of God, as you preach the word, then what good are you doing the people? It'd be far better to take a verse and break that verse down and dissect that thing and lay it right out there than to just quote scripture and read about 15 chapters and not ever explain the Word of God. But most preachers know when they start explaining it and applying it, that's when the congregation wants to get rid of them. But he said that I may behold the wondrous things out of that law. There's great and glorious things. That's one thing about the Bible. I've read through the Bible, read verses over and over again, but it's a living word. It's a living, it's alive. It's the word of God, and I can get different things or read the same thing over and over, and it blessed me again and again. Because it is a living word. It's not a dead word like a book that some man writes, but it is the living word of God. Scripture needs to be opened up to us that we can understand it. The psalmist had a measure of spiritual perception, or he would have never known that there were wondrous things to be seen. But he also knew that he needed help from God to understand them. David's prayer in this verse is a good sequel to verse 10, where he corresponds in the position, let me not wander from thy word. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments. See, there it is, the word of God. It's called commandments there. Hide not thy commandments from me. I am a stranger in the earth, he said. This is meant for a plea. By divine command, men are bound to be kind to strangers. And what God commands in others, he will exemplify in himself. The psalmist was a stranger in a foreign land. And he said, hide not thy commandments. Hide not thy word from me. I tell you, the Bible talks about in the book of Amos that there are coming a day. And I don't know if that prophecy fulfilled itself in Old Testament times, if it was referring to times then or even up to the last days, but we can surely make an application. It might have been in a direct reference to another period in time in history, but he said there would come a time when there was not a famine of food, but a famine of hearing the word of God. You can pack out a church building. If you're going to have entertainment, some kind of Christian play or a singing group come that everybody wants to hear. But I could go to Russellville today and find the biggest church building up there and announce that we're going to have old time hell, fire, and brimstone Bible preaching, King James Bible preaching, and we're going to preach it from the Word of God. And I tell you, you probably couldn't get 20 or 30 or 40 new people to come. They don't want to hear the Word of God. People want to be entertained. They want their flesh pampered. They want something that is new and something that is exciting. But I tell you, we ought to get excited over the Word of God. It ought to thrill our soul. And David said, oh, it's wondrous. And he said, I'm a stranger. Hide not thy commandments. Lord, don't hide your word, but let me know what your word is teaching me. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. The word judgments there is in the reference to the word. My soul breaketh for the longing. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. True godliness lies very much in its desires. And he said, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. The desires of gracious godly men are after holiness, and they're intense, and they cause a wear of the heart, a straining of the mind, until it feels ready to snap with the heavenly drawing of it. A high value of the Lord's commandments leads to a desire to know and to do them. What a blessing it is when all our desires are after the things of God. We may well long for such longings. See, he said, my soul breaketh. That means it's longing. The Bible says, as the soul panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The picture there in that psalm was that a deer, a hart, that's another name for a deer in the Word of God, that the dogs, the hounds had been chasing that deer, and he was out of breath, and the hounds were on his heels, and he didn't hardly have time, but he was panting, and he come to a water brook, and he just lapped it up because he had to drink it fast because the enemy was after after him. And that's the way it is. The devil's our enemy, and the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I tell you, but as the heart panteth after the water brooks, as he's craving that water, that's how we ought to crave and pant and thirst after the Word of God. Oh, we ought to go to the Lord's house when they're having the preaching of the Word. And we ought to be on the edge of our seat saying, man of God, feed us that Word in the private time, in the secret place, when we get in the study with the Lord. We ought to say, Lord, I'm craving the blessings that come from this blessed Holy Bible. We ought to deal and go after and long for the Word of God, that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. There is judgment and cursing from erring from the Word of God. I'll say this, for a Christian, those who are saved, there is a curse from being away from the Word of God and erring from it. But I believe that even the lost man, you take this country and when it was founded and when it was established, a lot of those men weren't Christian men. They would even profess to be saved, but they did believe there was a God and there were moral absolutes, and they honored, they honored and had respect for the Word. That's why our country's in the shape it's in. That's why the financial situation's like it is. That's why the moral situation is what it is. That's why our foreign policies were becoming an enemy of Israel. We are standing behind the Muslims, really, because we don't know who's taking over in these countries and throwing over these governments. They're just a rebel mob, which are they're really Muslim groups, and they're gaining ground over there. And I want to say that the reason we're in the shape we're in is because we have erred from the Scripture. We took it out of the schools. We took prayer out. We've took it out of the church. We've took the Bible out of the home. And we've tried to wipe the very remembrance of God from society. There's liberals who want to take him off the money and God we trust. The Scriptures that are on the buildings in Washington, D.C., when they rebuild things, they're wanting to take that out. But I want to say that this wicked world and the wicked liberals who are trying to destroy this country, yeah, they're going to end up messing it up. It is a mess, but I'm glad King Jesus will straighten it out one day. But I want to say that no matter what, they can burn all the Bibles, they can burn all the churches, they can take all the Scripture off everything and say, we have erased the very thought of God. But what they don't realize, as long as there's Christians in the world, as long as that rapture hadn't took place and called the saints out, that the Word of God, there's one place that they can't take it out, and that's in our hearts and our soul, because we have the Word of God in us, and we have the living Word in us. And the Scripture. David said, I love the Scripture. I love thy Word. And he said, thou hast rebuked the proud that have cursed, which do err from thy commandments. I tell you, we as the redeemed ought to not want to err from the commandments of God. We ought to want to hold to them, because whenever we err from God's Word and His commandments, there's judgment, there's chastisement. It's not going to be good with our life. I believe that the Word of God, there's a blessing in keeping the Word and living by the Word of God, and there's a curse when we err from it. And David said, oh, don't let me err from it. Now, verse 22 of Psalm 119. Verse 22. The Bible says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept what? Thy testimonies. Thy testimonies there refer to the Word. Now look, David said, remove from me reproach and contempt. These are painful things to the people of God, reproach and contempt. David could bear them for righteousness' sake, but they were a heavy yoke as long as he had brought them on himself. To be slandered and to be despised by vile men, it's a grievous affliction. And David said, remove from me reproach and contempt. He said, Lord, remove all this thing from me, because I have kept thy testimonies. If there be truth, any truth that we need to really realize that we ought to keep, it's for the sake of God. But we must realize that we will suffer reproach and contempt for keeping the Word of God. Well, God bless you. We'll be back next week. We'll pick up in Psalm 119 and verse 22.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.